designed for the generalist classroom teacher who was not musical. And by that, I mean for the teacher who has never taught a music lesson before, never thought they would have to, that where the university degree that they did never spent any time with them, skilling them up enough to be able to go into a classroom to teach a music lesson that actually met the curriculum outcomes that a child is meant to be doing in the classroom. Because my goal is to make every teacher a primary school music teacher.
Welcome to Rainbow Skies for New Teachers, where we're all about bite-sized tips and simple strategies for bright and busy new teachers.
If you're in your first few years of your career and want to make the rollercoaster ride of teaching more fun, streamlined and stress-free, you're in the right place.
We're Ashley and Alicia, the dynamic duo from Rainbow Sky Creations, and we're excited to be your teacher mentors on the go. There are rainbows ahead, my friend.
And together, we're unstoppable. Let's get into today's episode.
Rainbow Sky Creations acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Dharawal and Whadjuk Noongar people. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.
Well, hello there. Welcome back to the Rainbow Skies for New Teachers podcast. Today, we are doing a little bit of a pivot, but a pivot in a good direction. We're going to be talking to Ricky from Amplify Music Education all about how to embed music into the classroom. Now, if you don't teach a mainstream classroom and have the opportunity to teach music, don't turn this episode off just yet. Ricky talks about how you can teach music, music lessons, the benefits of music, and how we can incorporate music, music lessons, and music concepts into our classroom outside of those formal music lessons. Ricky's passion for music is really contagious. I felt it chatting with him, and I know you are going to as well. Welcome to Ricky. This episode is brought to you by Amplify Music Education, because I would love to welcome one of the founders of Amplify Music Education. Ricky, welcome to the podcast.
Ash, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm super excited, super buzzed. This is probably one of my first podcasts, so I'm excited to be jumping into this digital world to have a chat and share some stories. This is great.
Amazing. Even better that it's with us. I'm super excited too, because we talk lots about classrooms and those mainstream classrooms and behavior in classrooms and classroom management. But today we're going to be talking about music, which is really fun and something different that we haven't spoken about before. So I'm super pumped to have you on with us. I am going to give you a little bit of a dose of your own medicine to start this podcast, because you always give teachers an icebreaker and you ask them, what was your first concert, your first album, and your first dance? So I'm going to ask you that question.
Okay. Ask away.
What was your first concert?
Well, my first concert was John Farnham in 1986, because it was part of the Whispering Jack tour, which was like the big album of his in the 80s that featured You're the Voice and all the other big singles. And my mum and dad took me, and I remember being so excited, and I was working up to it that day. And I remember it being really, really loud and just amazing lights. I was convinced that in one moment of the concert, John Farnham specifically pointed at me and gave me a wave. And to this day, I still believe it. Even though I think it was just a bit of showmanship where he was pointing to the crowd, but my mum told me he was waving at me. I was a massive John Farnham fan when I was little.
I would jump around with
the mic thinking I was John Farnham, and I knew all the words, like Take the Pressure Down, Chain Reaction, Two Strong Hearts, You're the Voice, all of them. That was my first concert. I still have the actual memory in my brain of like where I was. It was at Beverden Theatre, which is a big, beautiful venue in Adelaide where I grew up. And I remember exactly where I was standing with my mum and dad. I think it was on my mum's shoulders, or my dad's shoulders, seeing the concert. That was my first concert.
We're big Johnny Farnham fans at our house too. Me and my dad actually had a dance for Two Strong Hearts that we'd sing and like do the actions together. So I can totally relate to that. But I'll show you the dance after the podcast. Okay, next one is, what was your first album?
Well, first album I bought, you know what, I reckon it was on a cassette, and it was a band called Colour Me Bad. Do you remember this band?
No, like a boy I don't.
Band. Yeah. They're like a boy band. And they had some, like, to be honest, pretty questionable lyrics for a kid of my age. They had a single called I Wanna Sex You Up.
I know this song.
Yeah, and All for Love. and great hooks. Like, even like looking back in hindsight, I can see why I like those songs because I was always a sucker for really catchy pop songs, super hooky, that would get stuck in your head. And that was essentially like the first time you discover an artist that is that your parents don't like. That was like one of the first ones. So that's kind of like my cheesy kind of guilty pleasure when I was little. But then when I moved, I think as I moved into high school, I discovered this band called Something for Kate, and I was obsessed with this band. And I remember still, and I've still got physically all those physical albums from a band, from Something for Kate. And they're actually still my favorite band. So there you go.
Okay, first dance.
First dance. Well, the first dance that I had at my wedding when Nat and I got married was from Oasis, the song Live Forever, because we're both really big Oasis fans.
Yep.
And it was a bit questionable because I loved it. Nat loved it. And that was the main thing. But Nat's mum was like, so what was the first dance song? And I remember her saying, you could have chosen a different song. And Nat was like, no, it's our wedding. We get to choose what our first dance song is. Thank you very much. First dance song, Oasis, Live Forever. Great tune.
Nice. So I'm guessing the reason why you ask teachers these questions to break the ice is because we're really talking about prior experience in music, not just music as a teacher in the classroom.
That is exactly right. Yes, that is exactly right. Also, just simply, and I've just felt it then, it always makes people smile and laugh and makes them happy talking about musical experiences, whether it was their first concert or their first album or first dance. You know, no one ever really has a sad story to tell about, you know, like, oh, my first concert was horrible. Like, they always smile. So it's a really nice way to kind of begin discussions with schools. But the other reason I ask is because often if it's in a room, like in a staff room, there's multiple staff and the principals and the exec team, often it allows other people to see their colleagues in a different light. You know,
yeah.
Someone will say, I went and saw Oasis, or I saw Black Sabbath, or I saw Cold Chisel at the RSL, or I saw Midnight Oil. And most often or not, the staff members will go, oh, really? I wouldn't have imagined you would have gone to see Cold Chisel. I love Cold Chisel, you know? And it creates this really wonderful, positive, uplifting conversation. But also, and most importantly, as I can see what you're getting at, is, as you mentioned, to get people to realize that music has this opportunity and this amazing power to create a really emotional connection, and most importantly, an emotional connection with people who don't consider themselves musical. And that's the important hook, is that I guess often with music, people think you need to be a musician to be able to do music and to be able to understand music. But I disagree with that. The wonderful thing I see about music is that whether you can play an instrument, or whether you've never played an instrument in your life, and whether you've never really been taught about how to count music in rounds of four or whatever, if anybody can hear a song or see a live show and connect with it emotionally and have a really positive, uplifting experience without needing any sort of kind of musical understanding about what they're watching, it's just a purely kind of an emotional thing. I think that's a really powerful thing, because there's not that many things in the world that we can say that, you know. And
no.
You know, it's also why people are spending will happily spend hundreds of dollars and go and watch someone like Taylor Swift at a huge stadium, and 96,000 people night after night will go, because they want to be part of something that you just can't experience on an iPhone or watching on your computer. Like, people want to be part of something that is just that powerful, emotive connection experience that you can't really have anywhere else. That's one of the really great things I love about music.
I love listening to that. I even, like, as you were telling your story, I was thinking about how me and my dad had that connection to John Farnham and how that made me feel. And then the other day I was lucky enough to come and visit your offices, and I was talking about my first concert with one of your staff members. It's exciting. It does light you up. And I wouldn't say that I'm a musical person at all, but I love listening to music. And it's great, as you said, you can have that connection with other people through music. And I notice even in my own household, we play lots of different sorts of music with our kids, and we can all enjoy the same piece of music, whether it's our four-year-old or my husband who's in his 40s, or my parents who are here and they're in their 60s, you know. There's no age limit, which is fabulous.
Yeah, that's right. It's been referred to, I have mentioned it a few times, as in a way the great equalizer. But perhaps we'll touch on that as we move into the kind of how it sits as an important role in education. But casting your eyes out over some of the amazing, incredible, uplifting, empowering images I've seen of, you know, the recent Taylor Swift tour, you know, there's people of different race and gender and beliefs and ideologies and people of all different walks of life, but they're coming together and there's no violence, there's no fighting. Everyone is just happy and joyous and jumping up and down and singing words, and it's incredible. And it essentially doesn't really matter where you're from or what you do. Music has this opportunity being people together and equalize the playing field for everybody. It's incredible. It's incredible. And also at the same time makes me wonder why perhaps that important part of it isn't utilized more in schools and education. But I guess that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. And, you know, is really one of my goals of what I try and do with music in a classroom.
Yeah, we are going to deep dive into that a lot more. So let's get into music in education in general.
Yeah.
When I first met you, you said, oh, there's so many benefits to teaching music at school. And we all know that, but let's break that down a little bit. Tell us about the importance of teaching music, especially in the primary setting, because most of our listeners are primary school teachers.
Yeah, amazing. And that's pretty much only where I work anyway. Primary school is my favorite world. So it's interesting, you know, when I think about it, is when we are babies or when we have a baby, and one of the first things we do to them to calm them or to make them feel settled is we often sing. And at that moment, we're not thinking to ourselves, oh, am I singing in pitch correctly? Or is this the right melody? Or am I musical? We just kind of hum a little something. And we do that because it makes the baby feel settled. It makes them feel safe so that they go to sleep and they relax and they kind of do what we hope we want them to do. And as they get a little bit old, you know, they start learning words with music or learning numbers. And often a lot of like children's programs in an infant preschool age, everything is kind of often done in through songs that I've noticed. And then the minute we get to school, it all changes. And in the kind of modern schooling, it's all the kind of learning through song is kind of stops and it becomes very structured and very official. And we don't really see much singing or music at all. On one hand, that kind of concerned me, but just from like a general, like looking at kind of developing essentially what some people refer to as soft skills for students, where there's so much time spent often in explicit teaching, which is really important in the classroom, I understand that, but students working autonomously with the classroom teacher delivering the content or working with their, like maybe talking with the person next to them. But in terms of like a really kind of deep collaboration with other students and understanding and being respectful of people and working in a group environment, music provides this wonderful platform to do these things. So we're talking about essentially collaboration and teamwork. The other big thing is creating opportunity for students to be able to think for themselves and not giving the students the information is giving them the ability to digest content and then come up with their own thoughts and ideas and critically think and using their imagination essentially so that when they move out into the real world, they can use this arsenal of skills that they have to be able to navigate challenging circumstances. And music provides this wonderful platform to do it. But also importantly is that not many other situations in the classroom can create that deep collaboration and critical thinking and problem solving and teamwork and imagination, encouraging students to think outside the box, encouraging students not to think that there is just one sole right or wrong answer. I was having this discussion with a student the other day, is that, for example, like, you know, in maths, it's purely driven by that there is one correct answer and everything else is essentially incorrect, and often in literacy as well. And so students get programmed to think that there is only often one right answer and it is the answer that I'm being told or what that answer should be. But music provides this other incredible platform for students to think differently. And that's the important thing about music. It empowers students to think about how they learn and what they learn and the world completely differently to the majority of other experiences of how they learn in a classroom. And that's one of the really powerful things. We often call it like kind of activating the whole student rather than just the mind. It's activating the emotional connection and the whole body of the student. And music is the wonderful driver of that. That's a bit of a deep conceptual answer, I realize, but I see the power of that. So that's what I think is really important about music.
What I really got from what you were saying too is that we're teaching students through experience that things can be subjective as well. And that's what I love particularly about the arts. And I was trying to teach my six-year-old this at home the other day, that there's not necessarily black and a white. There's lots of gray area, and you might like something and someone else might like something completely different. And that's okay. And we just need to justify and give our answers for that. And I think music is a really great way to look at lots of different people's opinions on things and what they like, what they dislike, and come together in that way as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then looking at the bigger social construct of it, when we start to kind of build a society that thinks and learns and lives like that, then it creates a much more harmonious, understanding, compassionate society that we can all live in together. But it starts in school. has to start in primary school. It can't start in high school. It needs to start from the minute they are in the classroom with their classroom teacher, with their peers. I think quite often we end up trying to play catch up. You know, we get to high school and realize, oh my goodness, these young boys aren't able to work constructively and respectfully with their female peers. And that sets us up for some real issues as they move out into the real world. Just a simple thing of like activities of students coming together and working on song lyrics or coming up with different rhythms or different chorus ideas, and each person contributing something to that song is an incredibly powerful skill set to be able to develop and bring to a child's experience at school.
For sure. So one of the benefits that we have as primary school teachers is that we've got children in our care all day. I mean, sometimes that can be a negative. I understand that when you've got children in your care all day, but in high school, the teachers only see them for lessons. But in primary school, we've got the children all day and we're able to implement little bits and pieces throughout the day that may be able to help them in other ways. So what are some ways that a mainstream teacher in the classroom could use music outside of a traditional music lesson?
And look, a lot of my thoughts come from someone who understands music, but also is really mindful and understands what a general school and classroom looks like, which is in reality, a lot of teachers are quite fearful of music and teach music in the classroom because they just don't feel confident or skilled to talk about it. And when teachers don't feel confident in what they're talking about, they don't want to make themselves look silly, which I totally get. It's kind of like me getting up in front of students and talking about a certain history topic, which I'm not across. You don't want teachers want to avoid putting themselves in a position where they're made to look silly. So what I've been doing with schools is just trying to demystify some of like what music needs to look like in a classroom and make it really fun and accessible, but also just doing really simple activities. So one activity that I've suggested schools do is, as a classroom, decide on a song. And obviously, not everybody in the classroom will like the same song, but a selection of songs. And obviously, they need to be primary school friendly songs. I'm not talking about nursery rhymes and I'm not talking about wiggle songs. I'm talking about songs that students and also the teacher would actually consume outside of the classroom. And whether it is a primary school friendly Taylor Swift song, or whether it's a primary school friendly Ed Sheeran song, or like a John Farnham song, whatever it is, to use that song and open your day singing a verse and a chorus of it. And I don't mean the teacher getting up and singing in front of the students. I mean, putting that song on and putting the lyrics up on the screen and playing that song and having a go at singing it each morning for a week or so. And as students become more connected to it and more familiar with it, they'll kind of take off and run with it. It's just a really fun activity. But importantly, scientifically, what it's shown to do is that when we sing, importantly, when students sing, what it does is it activates the front cortex of the brain, which is the same brain that needs to be activated for students to learn and retain information. So there's all this incredible data about how we get students to improve their player results and how can we get better outcomes in the classroom with numeracy or literacy. Well, there is evidence that for students starting a day by singing a song, it activates their front cortex. So then when you move on to, after singing that song, you move into your reading, literacy or numeracy activity, the ability of the students to be able to comprehend and retain the information is going to be greater after they've sung a song. So there you go.
Wow.
it's a bonus. There's data that backs it up. So that's incredible. And as opposed to singing just being this thing that happens by like singing only being done by a choir in a school that happens at lunchtime, there's no reason we can't put a song on classroom teacher to sing it with their class and then set students up for some great learning straight after that. Some other things, using rhythms and rhymes to help students with their spelling, or using rhythms to help accentuate syllables. One I love doing is analyzing song lyrics and how songs can be used as a short form of storytelling. Even this, what we're talking about before, that different lyrics can be interpreted in different ways. So looking at the ability to be able to kind of convey a lot of emotion and story in just a few words, but how we interpret that potentially can be different across the different students. So looking at potentially what the songwriter could be talking about, just using song in maths to make maths more memorable and exciting, because often maths can be really overwhelming and a little bit dry for students. And the minute we make it fun, then the learning is going to be deeper. And music's a wonderful opportunity to be able to have fun with your students. The opportunity to kind of bring music into it through song. So either like singing little parts. And as I mentioned before, when I say singing, I don't want teachers to get hung up on like singing in pitch or singing the right melody. It's just like putting rhythm and some kind of pitch to it that the class is going to kind of do together anyway. It just makes it fun and memorable. And it also, because of the rhythmic kind of rhyming nature of it, it'll help students remember the actual content. transitions between different parts of the learning. So doing a numeracy activity before you go into a literacy activity, either playing like a song while the students kind of pack up their books to get the next books out, creates a bit of a brain break, a transition of learning. So it's not like just one subject going to the next one, which has kind of been drawn out. And then by that time, students are kind of starting to be disconnected. So just the simple thing of like putting music on to transition between different forms of learning is a really great thing to do as well.
There's some amazing ideas there. I was thinking back to you saying at the beginning of the day, bring the kids in, you can sing a song together. Not only is that great for the brain, as you said, which is actually incredible, I did not know that, but so maybe me and my kids singing in the car on the way to school, like really, we're just really bashing it out on the way to school is actually really great thing for their learning.
Also,
it's creating a connection with your students too. Like years ago, when I was much younger, I went on a Kentucky tour with a few of my friends and they had like a bus song. Did you? And then we got on the bus every morning and they played a song. And
song.
At first we were like, oh, this is a bit cringe. Every time we hear that song now, even now,
think
like
it, right?
20 years later, think we think about it. We message each other. Oh, the song is
on. What was your song?
Oh, it was from the American Pie movie. Teenage Dirtbag, I think it was.
Yeah, cool. Mine was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Stop Me Now. I have
a classic song.
Every time I hear that song now, I think of the song from the Kentucky tour. Yeah, but absolutely right. It's igniting a really positive memorable connection with that experience. And we can do that with music in our classroom. When students have a positive connection to wanting to be in a space where they learn, we are only going to create learning to be deeper, but also have really positive outcomes. Because if students are comfortable and happy and feel safe in the space they're doing and are happy, then essentially we're setting them up for success. If students are coming to school feeling anxious, upset, uncertain, and they're sitting down and trying to learn and do work, it doesn't matter what fancy PowerPoint slide we're going to be showing them or what content it is, they're not cognitively ready to learn and it's not going to happen. And actually goes back to a little bit to what I was saying around when we have little babies in there, we're trying to relax them and get them to soothe and sleep and we sing them the song. What we're doing is making them feel safe and nurtured and that they are okay. And the same thing we do when they're at primary school and we sing a song, it activates that same part of the brain, get them to feel safe and nurtured and looked after and that everything is okay in the classroom. So then they're going to be in a much better place to have much deeper learning.
Yeah. Oh,
it's simple. I love that. It's simple, isn't it? It's really simple.
It is really simple, but often the best ideas are the most simple. And just incorporating like little things, you're only giving us little ideas that literally teachers could go out and start this tomorrow, which is the best way to do it. We don't want ideas that take forever to prep or to get your head around. So it's going to take a few weeks to get your head around how this is going to work in your classroom. No way. You could go in tomorrow and say to your kids, right, let's vote. What are some of your favorite songs at the moment? It might be a Taylor Swift one because I know that that's all the rage right now here in Australia. Taylor Swift at the time of this recording is here on tour. So maybe you're choosing one of those songs or maybe the kids are choosing something else. I know my kids, I was dropping them off at school the other day and the school bell was the theme song for The Hills. You know that reality TV show?
Of course I know that song. Yeah, of course.
And that came on and I was like, oh, yes. And I'm like singing along as I'm taking the kids to the lines and you could see they were kind of all bopping along too. So that is something that you could start tomorrow in your classroom.
Absolutely. That's it. It's simple. It doesn't cost any money and you can do it right away. And it's going to have a positive and immediate effect on your students' learning outcomes. So I don't understand why we wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree.
As you can hear,
everybody, Ricky is super passionate about music. And he has started his own edutech company called Amplify Music Education. So I want you to tell us a little bit about Amplify. I was able to come in and visit you guys in your office in Sydney a couple of days ago, which was super exciting. And I'm going to give you my feedback about Amplify too. But give us a little bit of a rundown. What's your elevator pitch for Amplify? Tell us about it.
Oh, sure. Well, elevator pitch. Yeah, sure. It's contemporary ready-made music lessons designed for the generalist classroom teacher who is not musical. And by that, I mean for the teacher who has never taught a music lesson before, never thought they would have to, that with the university degree that they did, never spent any time with them, skilling them up enough to be able to go into a classroom to teach a music lesson that actually met the curriculum outcomes that a child was meant to be doing in the classroom. That's what Amplify is. Ready-made music lessons designed for a generalist classroom teacher to teach the music curriculum, but importantly done in a really fun, engaging, accessible way that the students are going to love, but also upskills and enables the classroom teacher that is in the classroom every day with their students, as you mentioned, and knows their students better than any other specialist coming to the school, can now teach music. Because my goal is to make every teacher a primary school music teacher. And by that, I mean, we're not talking about that primary school teacher going off and teaching music to every child in the school. We're talking about empowering and enabling that primary school teacher to be able to teach music in their classroom with their amazing students, just like they would teach any other KLA or any other curriculum subject that is in the syllabus.
Yeah. And I know lots of schools do have a music teacher, and I want to say specialist in inverted commas, because often it is just a teacher who has got a love of music, or even a teacher that's come back from maternity leave and they're in that role. But when I came into your offices, I was very honest and I said, if I was put into a classroom tomorrow and I had to teach a music lesson, I would be like, oh, I actually don't know exactly what to do. I'd pull something out of the hat. It wouldn't be good. But after checking out your platform, I was excited to think I could go and teach music using this, because A, it's super easy. B, it teaches along the way. You are learning as the teacher with some of the content as you go. And also C, it's so easy to prep, which I think is one of the hardest parts as a teacher. Music and other subjects, they kind of get left to the side because you think, well, my core work is literacy, it's maths. I need to get all of that stuff done. That's where you put all your time into planning. But it's important that music has an opportunity as well. And that's one great thing about a platform like yours. So it kind of, to me, it looks a little bit like Netflix. You pull it up, it has the lessons, it shows you where you've left off, your last lesson. You don't have to like go off into other links throughout the internet. It's all there in one place.
That's right.
And the lessons are really fun. So there's video elements and then there's activities that you can go with it. And if you were teaching in the classroom, say your kids went off and did music with another teacher, you could probably still use something like Amplify, because it'd be great to use not only as like an extra lesson, if you had a bit of extra time and your kids really loved music, it'd be great to implement it that way. But you've got other things on the platform that can help teachers too, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You gave a really good explanation and of what Amplify is. That was like visually, I was really good. That was really good. Thank you.
Thanks.
But that's, you made a good point of that it's all there for the teacher, because even when I was really digging into the curriculum with music, so Amplify has 10 lessons per year level, kindergarten tier six, or if you're in Victoria, foundation or prep if you're in Queensland, but essentially kindergarten year six, 10 lessons. And some lessons from musician teacher point of view, as myself is, are easier to create than other ones. But even some with a musical skill set kind of background like mine, there are some concepts, which I'm sure are the same in numeracy and literacy or other KLAs, which are just to try and think of a really engaging way for students to kind of digest and understand the concepts. Some concepts are a lot harder than others.
Mm.
So I've really spent time kind of evolving certain concepts and changing them and updating them to make sure that every single concept makes sense, but also the teacher is supported the entire way through that process, because it's one thing talking to a teacher about ideas or of how to do a music activity in the classroom, but if they don't have a really easy way to actually explain the concept to the students, then it doesn't really set them up for success. And vice versa, you know, a teacher may be able to explain what a verse and a chorus is or what tone color is, but without an actual activity for students to be able to demonstrate the understanding that is scaffolded for different students' abilities in your classroom, then it's hard for students to be able to actually apply the learning, and you can't see if they actually understand or not. So we wanted to create something that completely supported the lesson delivery for that teacher the entire way through that experience. And in addition to that, be able to create ways that, as I mentioned before, we can integrate music things into the classroom outside from just it being a standalone music lesson. So things like, as I mentioned before, like brain breaks, little transition activities for students to be able to do with their teacher in between different learnings within the classroom. And by having Amplify, just makes it a lot easier because all the playlists are all integrated and I've actually got the activities there organized as like really quick little 5-minute activities. We have a whole songs for singing playlist so that to start your morning off. So things like that, that you can integrate into a classroom. But we also made lots of outside of just the core content, important, I guess, conversations that happen in schools. So we've got our multicultural kind of Harmony Day lesson content. We have NAIDOC Week content. So to be able to put a music lens on everything that we do in the school, then it just helps to make the classroom really fun and engaging for the students, but also to help and take music from being this kind of thing that has to happen outside of a normal classroom and bring it in to integrate it across everything. We even have some sports stars within some of the lessons. So we've got like Jonathan Thurston or Abba Mabil, some of the Matildas as part of the content, as a way of showing that music doesn't have to just be a standalone thing done by musicians. It's, we have teachers in the content, sports stars, as well as musicians, to make it as accessible as possible.
Yeah, so fun. So good to integrate some of those important days throughout our teaching calendar and having a music element to it. Because I know lots of teachers will want to do a Harmony Day lesson, or I know that you're trying to work on some things for Anzac Day, which would be really great for the classroom. And adding that musical element to it just gives it to that next level. Or if your class has to do an assembly around one of these special events, you could use some of this music that they're learning. So it's part of a lesson, but then they're using that in their assembly and nothing is kind of just standing alone.
Exactly. That's right. But one of the big things, big conversations is around integrating student learning across all the KLAs and all the core curriculum. So it's not always just, this is a numeracy lesson, then we finish that. Now we're doing a literacy lesson. Okay, that's finished now. Now we're going to do STEM. Okay, STEM's finished now. And we try not to have learning just happening in isolation so that if we can be integrated across everything. So developing the student's understanding and then applying it to the whole classroom experience is where the learning becomes the deepest and we get the most successful outcomes for our students. And if music, my goal is to make music part of that integrate experience in the classroom, just like what we're mentioning of ways better to do it. And Amplify just makes it really, really easy to do that.
It does. It makes it really, really easy. It takes out all of that hard thinking for teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned about the playlist before. So one of the big things that we worked super hard last year is quite an interesting little fun fact is we created our own Amplify music streaming player. So what that means in layman's terms is if you're familiar with Apple Music or Spotify, we've created that essentially ourselves, but we own it. So it's called Amplify Music Player. The cool thing about it is that we can create and curate our own primary school friendly playlists to integrate into Amplify lessons, but also use for brain breaks and things. And the cool thing about that is because we've curated it, we know that the lyrics and the content is primary school friendly, but they're the actual songs from the actual artists. So whether it's a Taylor Swift track or whether it's a Guy Sebastian track or whether it's a Bruce Springsteen track, we can have them in the lesson as part of our Amplify player that's curated, and we're not having to go into Spotify or bring up a song on YouTube and then put out with like potentially an inappropriate YouTube ad.
Yeah.
And then by that, you know, start to tune out. So it's like having it all in one place. So yeah, we've just created a whole bunch of playlists for like swimming carnivals, and we have a First Nations playlist and songs that are great for singing, and just to make it really, really easy. And you don't have to put up with ads and things like that.
Yes, I loved that feature of the playlists. I loved it because of the special events ones, like there was ones for running carnivals and stuff. And I thought that that would be all book parades. Teachers will know that you're like scrambling, what other songs can we put out about reading and books? It's just got it there. You can just press play, off it goes. But the other thing I really love doing in my classroom, and I'm sure there's lots of teachers out there that love this too, is just putting on some music while the students are working. And I like to mix it up. Sometimes it's classical music. Sometimes it's music that they can sing along to. Sometimes it's a bit more modern, sometimes it's not. But that would be a really great way to use those playlists too, to say, okay, well, the kids are really into Taylor Swift at the moment. Let's put up that or put on something else that's a little bit more quiet. So you just got like a bit of something in the classroom. But I find that playing music while the kids are working, it really just tempers the environment and the mood. It stops the classroom getting really loud and a little bit too wild. It keeps people on track. It's good for those kids that have got those sensory issues that really just need like a constant noise level, not things going up and down and loud noises and things. So there are so many benefits.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we actually created a calming playlist so that if it's a hot day, students are coming back in from their lunch break, teacher can put on the calming playlist. The students can kind of just chill and kind of do a quiet activity with some music that helps kind of accentuate the calming emotion we're trying to put out in the classroom to get them ready before they do their next activity. I mean, it's great because we got our own player now. We can essentially create any type of playlist we want within a few minutes. So that's been really exciting. But ultimately, the most exciting thing for me has been when a school becomes an Amplify school, I do a professional learning session with all the staff and the teachers to essentially explain what it is, because it's quite funny. So a principal will be like, yes, we want to do Amplify. And this looks, I think my teachers will love this. They make the decision at the exec level. And then sometimes they filter that communication to all the staff to say, we're going to be doing this program, but sometimes they don't. So I'll go do a PL with the school and I'll walk in and the teacher's like, who's this guy? And what is this PL about? And so I'll need to explain. you're going to be doing this Amplify music program that I've created. And in that moment, as soon as I said music, the teachers are like, oh shit, are you for real? We're doing music. Hang on a sec. I can't teach music. But my goal, or the learning intention for that next 60 minutes, is to get teachers completely rethink about music, get them to believe that they can actually teach a primary school music lesson. Because I wholeheartedly believe that classroom teachers in primary school, because they work with those students every day, like you said at the start, they have the strongest connection and relationship with those students outside of the parents. Those students feel the safest with their classroom teacher compared to, say, anyone else externally coming in. Also, like the teacher working with those kids and students every day understands the kind of nuances of how those students learn and how they retain information and their social dynamic and how they interact. They understand the art of teaching in that specific scenario to get the best out of the student. And now I feel like if I can get the teacher to use their art of teaching skills to now teach music, then they can actually create a really amazing deep learning experience of music with that student better than even if I was to go into the classroom to teach that student, because the students already have that relationship with the teacher. And that's something that I feel is always, always overlooked. And that we don't often have enough emphasis on that relationship that the teacher has with their students. Then by the end of it, seeing how excited teachers are to teach something like music, which, as I mentioned before, they wholeheartedly believe they never, ever thought they would be able to teach music because they had to be a musician, or they needed to be able to play piano, or needed to be able to play the guitar, or heaven forbid, had to play the recorder to be able to teach music. So seeing that whole shift. And then in addition to that, creating this continuity across the school so that it didn't rely on the existing music skill set of that teacher, of how successful that music lesson was going to be with their class. And by that I mean, for example, if there's a school and there's 2 year three classes, 1 year three teacher may have played piano in high school or may have been in the choir when they were at high school. So just by that, they are actually kind of somewhat comfortable, even if they don't know it, but it's like slightly more comfortable than perhaps the teacher next door teaching the same year level, but that teacher had never had a chance to do music when they were at school. They'd never played instrument before. They've never even dabbled in a music lesson. So those two classes, although they're in the exact same year level at the exact same school, would be getting a very different musical experience. But now by using Amplify, then it helps create a consistency so that those students, irrespective of the background music skills those teachers had prior to doing Amplify, are now ensured of getting the same deep, enriched musical experience in the classroom. That is one of the really important things that
it's has evening been the playing field, isn't it? It's not exactly only evening the playing field, but it's actually up leveling it. It's like the next level up. Because as I said before, after looking at your platform, I was like excited to teach music. I could totally do that. Whereas before, I'd be like, oh, look, if someone offered me a music job, I would have been like, no. But if someone offered me a music job with Amplify, I would say, yeah, this is definitely doable and it would be fun. And also, I was talking to one of your staff members, shout out to James. He was saying, not only are you teaching the lesson and you're teaching it well, but you get to enjoy the teaching part because there's not a huge amount of organization. There's not a huge amount of prep that goes along with it. And that can often just take the fun out of teaching when there's always these next things that you need to organize and get ready and this and that. Your brain's going 100 miles an hour. You can actually be in the moment with your students enjoying that lesson.
Absolutely. That's right. And I always encourage that with the teachers. So essentially, the model is Amplify. There's an introductory video that's kind of sets up and introduces the fundamental concept to the students. That is essentially me on the video explaining the concepts in a really fun, digestible language, but also with really awesome Australian artists that the students or the students and the teachers may have seen before. So a lot of the content, it's myself and Amy Shark or the band Shepherd or King Stingray or Mitch Tambo. So actually bringing Australian artists into an education content, but artists that kids and teachers know. So we've kind of already created a connection. And then after the video, and after we've kind of set up those fundamental concepts, the teacher has watched that video then with the students and gone, oh, okay, cool. So now I get what dynamics means in that context of like dynamics using our voice or dynamics using instruments. Now I understand what a bridge in a song means and why it's there. And then they do an array of activities that is all housed within the platform that comes with a lesson guide and explains how to do it. And they have a really great time doing it. But also the songs within the playlists that are used, the students have had to demonstrate their learning on for those activities are really great songs. And to be honest, that's, as you kind of mentioned, that's what creates a really big connection to the positive experience. Is like when you're learning something that's really fun, then it makes the learning more enjoyable and kids will want to do it. And a really easy way to do that with music is have songs that kids actually like and listen to, but also as a teacher that you really like and listen to. So I've been really conscious of creating a really diverse range of songs, but really great songs. So like in one playlist, we may have John Farnham, You're the Voice, and the next song's Taylor Swift, and the next song is King Stingray, and then the next song maybe like a orchestral song, and then the next song maybe like a Keith Urban country song. So it's like quite diverse, quite eclectic, but in every kind of opportunity there's going to be students and teachers that really connect with it.
Yeah, I saw you had Unchained Melody as one of your songs on your big whiteboard, one of the classics.
Oh, yeah. We call all the lessons are named after, have kind of really cool music puns to it.
Okay.
So we have like, yeah, Unchained Melody is a lesson about essentially what is melody. We have Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus, which is about song structure, identifying what a chorus is. One of my favorites is 88 Problems But the Pitch Ain't One, which is a pitch lesson. That's one that went down well. Joy Division, which is about the relationship between music and maths. Pretty much every lesson has a really great music pun to it.
Cool. So much fun. Well, Ricky, this has been the best. I have loved chatting with you today. I feel so inspired to encourage my kids to do more music with them at home. But also I hope that teachers listening to this podcast are like, yes, I'm going to get some more music into my classroom after listening to Ricky.
Yes, well, I hope so, because it's really fun, but also has a really positive outcome on the students. So there's no reason you shouldn't be doing it.
No.
Let's do it.
So before we go, one more thing is teachers can get a free trial for Amplify.
Yeah, if you go to amplifiedmusiceducation.com.au is our really cool, fancy-looking website. And you can sign up for a free trial directly through the website there. Essentially allows you to jump on and see in real time what actually doing a lesson would be. So you can actually do an Amplify lesson with your students, do the video, then the array of activities. You can check out the lesson guide that accompanies the lesson. You can see like an example of a scope and sequence. You can see an example of an assessment rubric. But all honesty, it just gives you an idea of like how cool the platform is to navigate and use. Because like I said, when I created it, I wanted to make sure that when teachers logged on, they were like, wow, this is cool. I want to use this and I want to be able to teach music in my classroom using this because it's really fun and my kids are going to love it. A little tidbit is I would have been 18 years old and I went to this music industry conference. I didn't say this, I played in a rock and roll band for 10 years of my life, got to tour the world and it was a great time. So I would go to sometimes to these music industry conferences and they would have, just like you go to education ones, they have keynote speakers and whatnot. The keynotes at this one was a wonderful gentleman. His name is John Watson. And at that time, and still now, highly respected music manager. And at that time, he was managing a band called Silverchair. He also manages Missy Higgins, Birds of Tokyo. He actually manages Cold Chisel now.
Wow.
Really well-respected guy. And I was trying to find a manager for my band. And I would email different managers and say, oh, we've put out this song. Like, we're on the radio. We're playing these gigs. You know, I love what you've done with these acts. I'd love for you to consider managing us. Most of the time, you wouldn't get responses back. You know, it's kind of like emailing a principal, you know, when you're trying to.
Yes. Oh, we know.
People don't, you know, they've got a lot going on, which I understand. So you don't hear back. So I never expected to hear back from John Watson. But one day I got an email and he had taken the time to respond to me. And I thought, this is just one of the greatest things. Pretty much what he said in the email, he reinforced at this music conference. And he said to me, no matter what you do, Ricky, don't be boring. And it's just sat with me the whole time. And so whether it was when I was writing a song or like organizing a live show for our tour or whether it was tour posters, and as I moved into education, looking at how to engage students or make lesson plans or how to communicate or even how to just do PLs for school staff, I always thought, don't be boring. Because people don't have time for things that are boring. There's enough in the world that's boring. It's things have to be memorable. And I've always wanted to make sure things are memorable. So when I created Amplify, I wanted teachers to log on and for it to be memorable and definitely not boring. So at the very least, teachers will log in and be like, wow, this looks cool. And this is definitely not boring. Because there's a lot of education stuff out there and a lot of papers that teachers need to read and compliance and scope and sequencing and mapping to the curriculum. That is, let's be honest, some of that stuff, although it's important, can be boring.
Yeah.
So nothing I wanted to do, I didn't want anything to be boring. So everything I've done is exciting and is memorable and teachers will really enjoy the experience.
That's amazing. So go and check out with the free trial. I'll pop the link to the free trial in the show notes. If teachers want to connect with you, Ricky, or with Amplify Music Education after this episode, how can they do that?
Yeah, we can email me, ricky@amplifiedmusiceducation.com.au. There is a direct contact through the Amplify Music Education website as well. You can also find me on Twitter. I like to do some fun, memorable posts on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm actually Ricky Riots. It's still my Twitter from when I was in a band. Now it's just all education stuff though. So you can find me on Twitter as Ricky Riots.
You've got a brand new Instagram too. So go and give them a follow on Instagram because it's brand new. And we want to build it up so that all teachers from all over the world can discover the magic of Amplify.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So follow us on all those channels. Like I said, nothing of it will ever be boring. So at the very least, you'll have a really great chuckle and a great laugh. and it will be memorable. So drop us a line, check us out, and be open to bringing music into your classroom, because you'll have a really great time and it will honestly change your kids' lives. And I feel like I can say that because every time I walk into a school that does Amplify or go to visit a school to teach music, I see the change that it has and the positive effect it has on students in the classroom.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time today, Ricky.
Thanks, Ash. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
What a blast.
Bye. See, I told you, how contagious is Ricky's passion for teaching music in the classroom? As I said, when I went in to visit Amplify, I was really struck by how easy and simple it was to use their platform and how I actually wanted to go in and teach music using it because it just looked so fun. And that's one of the things that we really value here at Rainbow Sky Creations. We create lots of maths and social, emotional learning and literacy resources, but really the core of it is we want students to enjoy learning and have fun in the process. And as teachers, have fun teaching it, because teaching really can be such an enjoyable job. I know that sometimes things get us down, but injecting these little things throughout your day, just like what Ricky was talking about, can really make such a huge difference. I wonder if it's okay if I say to my children's teachers, you know what, you should be singing a song at the beginning of every day. Or is that overstepping the mark? I'm not sure, but I do really love the idea. And if I had my own class this year, that is the first thing that I would definitely be implementing after listening to this episode. Thank you to Ricky for joining us. We're going to be back next week with our normal episode with Alicia and I talking about a hot topic. We can't wait to see you then. Until then, there are rainbows ahead, and together, we're unstoppable. Maybe I should have sung that.